right, welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined by Nick and Joe Berger. Guys, hockey is back.
It's hockey season, baby.
It's hockey season. The puck has been dropped, and we have a few things to talk about today. Some new things. Finally, no more previews, so that's kind of exciting.
No previews and nothing to forget.
I guess we need... Oh, God. You're already bringing us down, man. Come on. All right.
You know, but you know what? I feel like we're in mid-season form already.
For those who don't know, Nick is alluding to the fact that in our Eastern Conference preview, we forgot to preview the New York Rangers, and then we had to go back and record another episode just to appease our New York fan base. Very large, so very important fan base to
just
us.
Just a tip of the cap, letting you know that we know that you're out there.
Yes. So I guess two words to start this podcast. Auston Matthews.
Yes.
For those who don't know, I guess for those who haven't been on Twitter in the last 48 hours or so, Auston Matthews had 4 goals in his NHL debut. How many guys have done that in NHL history?
I believe exactly none have done that.
Well, everyone's saying none because they were talking about the modern scoring era.
Yeah.
You know, but there have been a couple guys in like the 20s or something that had 5.
Yeah.
But like, you know, those are, you know, it doesn't count.
Yeah, but Auston Matthews, 4 goals in his debut. And my favorite part of that was when they showed his mom in the stands.
She was awesome.
She was like freaking out. And I mean, I think it's cool to see that because Matthews played his last season. He played over in Switzerland, and his mom actually lived with him over there for the entire year. So she's been along for the journey, and I think it's cool that she was there to see her son shine bright in his first NHL game.
In Hockey Mecca, too? Or were they
in Toronto? It was in Ottawa.
It was in Ottawa, but
so
still.
It was a home game for the Leafs.
Mecca adjacent.
Yeah, Mecca adjacent.
Yeah, but it was cool to see, I guess, impressions.
I mean...
Like, how much is there to say besides, like, oh yeah, this guy's really freaking good.
I mean, like, he was the recipient of some really great passes by guys like Nylander. Morgan Riley and William Nylander, but that second goal where he went through everyone by himself.
Including Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
That's you know, 4 goals. Who does that in their debut?
Yeah.
But like, that second goal, he made it look like he was a ringer on a beer league team.
Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
He looked like no one else should be playing. Like, you know, he does not belong at this level. He should be moved up.
Even when I first saw the goal, I thought, like, oh, that's a little soft on Anderson.
It was soft on Anderson.
A little bit, but if you look back, he placed that shot. It wasn't just like he threw it on net.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, like, you know, he put it right where he meant to.
He saw the opening.
He saw the mistake Anderson made.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember when I was watching Matthews in the World Cup, I noted that he shoots the puck low more often than I guess you sort of typically see in today's NHL with the butterfly style being so prominent. Shooters go up high more often, which makes sense. But he has a really good shot, like, along the ice. And I guess maybe we'll see more of that from him as the season goes on.
Judging by the shootout in the Pens-Caps game, he's going to love Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh,
yeah. There were a lot of those.
Yeah, but Auston Matthews looking great in his debut. It's funny because Connor McDavid, I don't know if you guys heard his comment. He said, I don't think I touched the puck 4 times in my
NHL debut.
Yeah.
Well, I saw on ESPN, actually, on SportsCenter this morning. Ooh. I know. Really, go figure.
Friend of the show, ESPN.
Friend of the World Cup.
They
actually showed, you know, the side-by-side debut from McDavid last year and then, you know, Matthews yesterday. And, you know, McDavid had 2 shots.
Oof.
Like, that was all he got out of his debut. So the fact that the comment he said or made about, I think I only touched the puck 4 times.
It was probably valid.
Yeah, it might have been accurate.
Yeah. But speaking of Connor McDavid, the Oilers broke in their new Rogers Place home, their first season out of Rexall. So did they actually have Wayne Gretzky skate on the ice?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
That was a little weird.
Yeah.
In gear.
Him and Messier went out there in jerseys and sticks and gloves. And
Messier helmet, right?
Man.
You mean the bucket?
Man, that would have been perfect.
No, not his playing helmet.
Oh, okay.
His failed Enterprise helmet.
Oh, in the Messier. Yeah.
Oh,
the M11.
The M11 helmet that, for those of you that play, if you've ever held the M11 helmet in your hand, You can fold it like paper.
Like, literally, you can fold it in half.
Hampus Lindholm wore it.
He did. He should stop.
Yeah, like, because the whole thing was, it was supposed to be revolutionary in helping to prevent concussions. And you could fold it in half like a croissant.
Well, anyway.
yeah, not to tangent too much.
Not to talk about failed business attempts by Mark Messier, but I thought it was a little weird that they were... I mean, like, I guess from an Edmonton fan standpoint, it was probably cool, but it was like, these guys don't really look as in shape as they once did.
Nope, that was the first thing
I noticed. There's a little belly action going on under that Oilers crest.
Some boiler action happening there.
Yeah, but the on-ice product, the game itself, the Oilers facing off against Calgary, was pretty spectacular. And Connor McDavid with two goals. His first goal was, you know, just kind of banging home, sort of a bang-bang play. I think the puck went off the backboards, came back out, and he just tucked away the rebound. But the penalty shot goal on Brian Elliott, I mean, I guess I'll take a hack at describing it. He comes in at full speed, and Connor McDavid full speed is faster than anyone we've ever seen. Puts on the brakes, puts on a flurry of dangles and moves,
and then just
roofs an upper
body fake to the backhand, and then back to the forehand, and from very close to Elliott, he was in tight.
Oh yeah,
he manages to go top shelf. It was incredible.
Yeah, and then what was interesting is that if you watch the clip, you can hear him putting on the brakes, and then as he's getting closer, you can hear him just like digging in with the skates to like shift across, and you hear that skate blade just like carving up the ice. So
did you hear what he said?
And then subsequently carving up Brian Elliott.
Did you hear what he said about that move?
No.
After the game, he said that he always tries the same thing in shootouts and never really has much success. At least that's what he said. So he's like, I'm gonna try something new, and you know he did, and it worked spectacularly.
Because he's got such quick hands. Like, I don't think people realize, like, that is very hard to do.
And the thing about that goal, too, is, like you guys said, he got in really tight on Brian Elliott, and a lot of goalies, they have this range where if you get to a certain spot, they're going to go for the poke check. But his hands are so lethal, I think goalies are afraid to be too aggressive or overcommit on the poke check, so they're just going to wait as long as they possibly can, but they're all at his mercy.
Yeah, no, Connor McDavid obviously looked great, which was cool to see since it was their first game in the new arena. So it's nice to see the newly minted captain establish himself. Another new Oiler, Milan Lucic, made his mark in his own way.
The way that we expected.
The way that we expected, dropping the gloves against Derek Englund after he sort of boarded Connor McDavid.
It was a clean hit. It was clean.
It was clean. It was sort of a little bit after the play, but it wasn't anything violent.
I mean, the way
McDavid sort of put himself there too.
The way Englund was playing it was he knows who he's defending, and he has to make sure that if he lets up for a second, McDavid is around him. Even if you know he thinks he's out of the play, he's not. So he has to take him all the way behind the goal line.
Yeah,
and you know McDavid's fighting for that ice, and you know he drops to to his knees, and then you know slide sideways into the boards. Yeah. But it's a controlled slide.
It was a weird play.
Like, it wasn't like you know last time where two guys fell on top of him.
Yeah,
you know, it was a controlled slide. It was fine.
I want to raise a question because we all know why Lucic is there. He is a good offensive player. He's actually pretty good. He's a good player. He's going to contribute. But we know that a big part of why he's there is to be McDavid's bodyguard, and we all know how guys like Derek Englund and Ferland play, where they're going to try and rough you up, and they're not going to back down. So this whole thing about Lucic being the protector, I don't think he's going to scare guys like Ferland and Englund from ever like touching McDavid again. I just think it's I think it's a stupid justification.
Watching NHL on the Fly last night, Mike Johnson made the same point. You know, he said, people aren't going to want to go up against Lucic, but that's not going to stop them from...
It never stops anyone.
Yeah, it's not going to stop them from you know trying to stop McDavid from scoring.
And, I mean, they certainly gave it their best shot. McDavid got roughed up, and he never backed down from it. He had to leave the game briefly at one point after one of the hits, but he took some more hits when he came back, and he dished it out a little bit too. So,
and that's the thing, that's the way he plays. Like even last season, what I was most impressed with at the beginning of the year was he never shied away from going to the dirty areas,
he's so fast.
Throwing his weight around. Like, he was not afraid to go to any part of the ice at any time.
Yeah, and nor should he be, because when you're as big and fast and as strong as he is already,
yeah,
you shouldn't be afraid of anything.
So, you know, the way McDavid plays and Lucic, what Lucic has acknowledged as his role, he's going to have a lot of work for himself.
I just think what sucks is that Milan Lucic doesn't need to be an enforcer to be effective. Like,
right.
He doesn't need to play this way. Like, he's actually just fine, you know, just playing hockey.
Just be the power forward. You know, it's a perfect compromise.
Like, dish out the checks. Like, that's fine. But you don't need to put on this, like, circus act. It's kind of hard to watch.
And you can tell.
That fight sucked, too.
No, I was about to say.
They didn't land any hits.
You could tell when they were fighting that, obviously, if they were just swinging, then, you know, they would have had at it. But both guys tied each other up. And you could tell none of them were really, or neither of them were that interested in trying to get loose and actually throw some punches.
Because Lucic can hurt you.
Yeah, like, they were just sort of like, all right, we're tied up. I don't really want to go, but it's sort of demanded. And we're just...
Social hockey norms dictate that we have to do this.
Yeah. It felt really like Lucic was... He was just going to jump on any opportunity to send that message. The message didn't need to be sent, but I guess good for the Oilers. They got to win. Also, something that kind of flew under the radar... Jesse Puljujärvi got his first NHL goal.
He did.
Number 98.
98.
I saw that and I was like, yuck.
Is that when he was born?
It might be. But 98 isn't a weird number in hockey. You never see it. Like, when I first saw McDavid with 97, I didn't think it was great. But now he's Connor McDavid, you know? So it's like, oh, he's 97. Like, that's just who he is. It's kind of like his identity now. But 98 looks a little weird. Jesse Puljujärvi is going to have to grow into it.
98 only looks normal in football.
Yeah, it's like a lineman number or whatever.
But, I mean, some people have made 97 cool. Joe Thornton in international competitions pulls it off. Jeremy Roenick, not cool, but it looked good on him.
I mean, Gretzky made 99 cool.
He did.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Brian Elliott looked bad.
He didn't look good.
And it's funny because the Flames actually outshot the Oilers by a good margin.
Really?
So if they had just had a better game from Brian Elliott, who we all were saying during the offseason, you can go back and listen to the tape, it's recorded.
Yes.
That Brian Elliott was sort of going to turn their fortunes around. And he probably will. He'll probably make them better. But as far as first tries go, it didn't go too well. And I was hearing sort of around Twitter that the thing with Elliott seems is that when he's on, like, he's great. And then when he's bad, he's like, very bad.
We saw it in the playoffs.
Yeah, and like the goals he let in that game, I mean, even the Puljujärvi goal, they were soft. Like, they were all, for the most part, stoppable. I mean, besides, obviously, the McDavid goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very few are going to stop that.
Yeah. So, a lot of cool things going on in the NHL. It's cool to see the young talent sort of taking center stage. Let's move ahead. Oh, Joe, you have one more point?
I have to watch a video first, but speaking of scoring first goals, Laine scored today.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Laine scored from his office, the left faceoff circle.
Did he?
Yeah. Just a wrister. The goalie was completely screened.
Who was in goal for Carolina?
Ward.
Cam Ward. Oh, we got the replay going.
We got
here.
The replay happening. It's happening right in front of us.
I don't think Ward even saw that shot.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
God.
The Jets won in overtime.
Oh, did they?
They came back.
They came back. Wow.
Yeah.
Man. Your team.
My team. My Jets. Yeah, they got Matthew Perreault and Patrick Laine playing on the same line. That's going to be so sick.
That's going to be good times.
Yeah, it was a perfectly placed shot, though. Like, even if Ward had seen it, I mean, it would have been tough to stop. But yeah, let's move ahead a little bit. A lot of injuries going around the NHL. And would you look at that? Injuries to guys who played in the World Cup. Sidney Crosby is a concussion.
Yep.
We don't know when he's going to be back. I thought it was cool that he brought out the cup tonight for their cup ceremony.
Yeah.
He was in full gear. Didn't play, though. Can the Penguins survive without Crosby for any amount of time?
They can.
Oh, yeah. They've proven they can.
And here's why. One, they're deep. They have all the names.
They have all the talent.
They have all the talent. They took all of it. But I know this gets said every time Crosby gets hurt, but it's true. Evgeny Malkin plays out of his mind when Crosby isn't in the lineup. He did it again today. He looked amazing. Kessel is there. Hagelin and Bonino and, like, the whole cast is there.
And Letang isn't hurt yet.
Yeah, Letang's not hurt. So they have plenty of guys that can step up, and most namely Malkin. He always seems to do it. I mean, they were showing on NBCSN, they were showing his numbers in his career with Crosby and without Crosby, and both are insanely impressive. But I mean, but it still goes to show you that they can survive. They'll be fine. And it sounds like Crosby is making progress.
He's already practicing.
Yeah. So it sounds like he's going to be back soon.
Did he practice today?
He's been practicing.
Yeah.
Well,
he was on the ice by himself before practice.
Well, he's been participating in practice, but he's not participating in contact drills.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But he is out there, and like that's a good sign, because sometimes when guys get concussed, like they can't even handle like movement.
Yeah, they can't even be on skates.
So the fact that he's already flying out there, he'll probably be back. I mean, they can take their time. It's so early in the season.
Exactly.
There's no reason to rush him back.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you know, they have enough. They'll be more than fine.
Yeah. All right. And then another injury. This one hits a little closer to home for me. Carey Price out with the flu for game one. The Habs took it 4-1 against Buffalo. But now he's out against Ottawa, too.
Yep, game two.
And I don't know. It must be a bad flu. Usually when guys have the flu, it's like a game two at the most. But it wouldn't be the first time the Canadians have maybe stretched the truth a little bit about Carey Price's health status. That's what they did last year. They literally waited until like the last week to say that he was going to be out for the season, even though they probably knew all along.
Right.
So I'm a little concerned. Like, given the fact that he just missed a year, we don't know if he could potentially be hurt. It's a little concerning for me.
I wouldn't make too much of it unless he misses third game, the home opener against Pittsburgh.
Well, it's just because I know they lie. That's what. I'm concerned.
I know, but like still, like your concerns are, you know, warranted from past experience. But like I wouldn't put too much into
We'll see
until the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, and is there another injury?
Jonathan Quick.
Oh yeah,
he played one period and. It was
lost
really...
his mind.
Oh God.
Okay, so let's
get into that.
Let's talk about that. So, I actually didn't see the play, but I heard that Pavelski got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Here's what happened: Logan Couture scored on the power play. It was such a snipe. It hit the back bar.
Yeah.
And came out.
But it was called no goal.
It was originally thought to be no goal. So the puck sat there, and Pavelski and all. The Sharks are celebrating, but Pavelski, for good measure, tapped the puck ever so gently into the net just to make sure that it went in. And Jonathan Quick lost his mind.
And how quickly was it after the puck went in or like came back out?
It wasn't right. Like it was a number of seconds.
Yeah, it was not immediate.
Like the play was dead.
Because when you see guys do that, usually it's like immediately.
It was a few seconds.
Yeah, it was a few seconds. Like the four other Sharks on the ice were all together celebrating by the time Pavelski did it.
That's why he got mad.
Like, Pavelski was going over and then turned around and went back and did it.
I guess it's a fair penalty for the ref to call.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it was a penalty. It was unsportsmanlike. I get what Pavelski was doing. He wanted to be sure. But and we've talked about this before, if you go offside and then the play is blown dead and you take a slap shot at an unsuspecting goalie, I get attacking the guy because that's dangerous. The goalie's not ready. You could hurt him. The puck was behind Quick on the ice and he tapped it in. Like, is that really so... I know it's unsportsmanlike, but is it so disrespectful that you have to, like, start a line brawl?
Which is what happened.
I mean, almost. I think a lot of goalies would take exception to that.
I know a lot.
I don't think it's just Jonathan
Quick.
Well,
that's the thing. I'm not making this argument about Jonathan Quick. I'm making this about goaltenders and their teammates.
Yeah.
All of, like.
Well, you know,
it's not just goalies that get upset about this. It's the players, too.
I mean, I hate to say this, but it's hockey. Guys will use any opportunity to wail on each other.
I hate that that's, like.
Any excuse, I mean.
Acceptable.
I hate that that's, like, the argument that trumps everything, and it's just. No one questions it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see why a goalie would take exception to it. Like, the goal has been scored, the play is dead, and now you're, like, rubbing it in. You know, like, and especially because it's two teams that don't like each other.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I see where you're coming from on that, but I just find it incredibly thin-skinned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look good.
No.
Was quick hurt on a play after that or before?
So the
after, right?
He like pulled his knee or something.
The funny thing is, Brian Boucher, the NBC guy inside the glass, the analyst, went to Daryl Sutter on the bench to try and get an update about what happened at Quick, because it was really mysterious. He played the whole first period, and then Jeff Zatkoff came out to play in goal for the second. And so he tried to find out from Sutter. He asked him, Daryl, what happened? When did it happen? And Sutter, in his normal short answer monotone style, goes, last shift of the period. And that was it. So they showed the replay from the last shift of the period, and it looked really innocuous, but he did not look comfortable.
I mean, what happened was Pavelski was trying to wrap it around a little. Like, it wasn't like a clean wraparound. You know, he was fighting the puck, and it was a little bit unorthodox, but still, that's what it was. And Quick, in typical Quick fashion, was outside the crease, like not outside the crease next to the post, outside the crease, like the top of the crease. And then he's pushing off hard, and he has like three hard push-offs, and he's sort of flailing his limbs, like he does.
Yeah.
And it looked like that last one, that where he pushed off and then jammed his foot up against the post, is where it happened.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that, actually, with like coaches not really giving answers?
In game, I think it's fine.
Yeah, in game, I agree.
I don't know. I think there's a line.
Well, I was watching the game, and I was watching with my mom, and I turned to her and I said, I cannot believe how Daryl Sutter does not have an aversion to creating awkward situations. Like, he just does not seem to give a damn.
Yeah. Boucher he paused for a second and was like, and they just started the next question.
Yeah, but
yeah, I don't know. I think it's like people just kind of shrug it off. Like, you see it with Popovich and Belichick. And I don't know. I think maybe in a game it's different, but like if it's like in a press conference, which he also does, I feel like it's kind of annoying.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like it's because the journalists are just trying to do a job. They're trying to get information.
Yeah, they're trying to do their job, and like you said,
I think it's disrespectful.
The game is over, so like you can say during the game, okay, he's focused on the game, he's doing his job.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be interrupted because he's focused. So that's totally fair.
Yeah.
But after the game, you've had time to collect your thoughts. Look, I don't like coach or athlete interviews, so I'm not that bothered by it, but I do understand why it is bothersome. And on some level, it is a little annoying to see a coach just brush off the media.
Yeah.
But I think it just depends on what you value.
I mean, everyone's answering the same questions every game. And the thing is, they're not even questions. It's
like fill in the blank.
Yeah, it's what it is. Talk about this. How did this make you feel? Of course, you know, we felt bad losing. Of course, I blew a back check or something. And, you know, of course, it's a big 2 points. Duh. So, just like, were you watching the game? If you were, you should have a question to ask, like a legitimate question.
Yeah. And I mean, not all questions are bad, but I just find it so elitist. It's like, what makes Daryl Sutter or any coach above answering questions? Like, what are you really doing? You're playing hockey and you're getting paid for it. Like, is it going to kill you to answer these questions? Like, your job isn't sacred.
But that's the thing. I think Sutter, you brought Popovich and Belichick. Those guys, you know, go out of the way to, like, not answer questions.
Yeah. Well, Popovich can sort of walk the line, but Belichick is,
yeah, just
he's a problem.
He's just a flat out defiant.
Yeah,
but like Sutter will answer questions.
Yeah,
you know it's you know the when
he's not as bad as the other two.
Yeah,
I would say
when reporters are how tough was this loss? It was tough.
Tough.
That's the answer that question deserved.
Yeah, and again, like not all questions are great, but. I don't know. I just find on the whole, it's not a good look for these guys.
Yeah.
Like for Belichick, I kind of get it because if there's a team that gets screwed by media and reports and, you know, like outside stuff, it's the Patriots.
They bring it on themselves though.
They do. But I would at least understand why he has that sort of like aversion to it. But the other two guys, I mean, keeping it on Sutter, it's just a little weird. It just feels lazy to me. I mean, it's part of your job, like to talk to the media, you know, just like it's their job to talk to you. Like in some ways, these guys don't have jobs if the media doesn't disseminate like their world to the audience. So it kind of works in tandem.
Yeah, I think with Sutter though, it's just his personality where he's not. I don't think it's him trying to act like he's above them or anything. I think he just doesn't like talking that much.
He's a man of very, very few words.
He's not going to say more than he has to, just because.
Sure he has a lot to say.
Oh yeah, we've seen it on. We've seen it
when he's talking to refs or his players. Like, it's not that he's not a talker. I don't really buy that. It's just he doesn't want to talk to the media. Like, it's just plain. He doesn't value their questions, and sometimes warrantedly so. But he just doesn't see the value in it, and that's his loss. Anyway.
All right. I'm not bothered by it.
I mean, I'm not like it's like I'm not losing sleep over it. I just when I watch it, I'm like, does this guy think he's like accomplishing anything here by not saying anything? Like, I don't know. It's just lame.
Well, the other thing about injuries too is like no one, you know, orders from the top.
Oh yeah, sure, but I mean, like in general, yeah. You know, it's not just that question.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I just
I don't have a high opinion of that approach.
I don't like it either. Like, the Belichick and Sutter and Popovich interviews are genuinely annoying, but I couldn't care less about the interviews. I want to watch great athletes play, and I want to watch great coaches coach, and whatever they think or feel about the game, I really don't care.
The only interview I want to watch is Subban.
Yeah, well, I mean, because... That's the thing, is like there can be good interviews when these guys allow themselves to show their personalities. It can be like actually interesting.
Like when Logan Couture was a rookie, he was sort of fun to listen to because he looked like he was having a good time. He was enjoying himself and he was answering questions. And now he's Oscar the Grouch.
He's glum.
It's like talking to cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean it's not great, but I do agree with you that to some level it might just not matter a whole bunch. That's the topics we have to start it off.
Oh, there was one more injury today.
Oh, okay. Which one is it?
You're giving us a cliffhanger, man. Don't do that.
What is it?
I'll give you one hint. It's someone who is always injured.
Oh, Evander Kane.
No, it's not Evander. He played tonight.
Yeah, and got hurt.
Oh, in the game?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he went hard into the boards and... Like, his whole side. They said he was taken to the hospital for a hip injury.
Oh.
But it could be a shoulder also.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you called that, Joe, on the Eastern Conference preview.
Yeah.
That he'd get hurt.
Yeah. I think you called it.
Yeah. So, injuries abound. I hope Price isn't actually hurt.
I hope not.
I hope Crosby comes back soon, because he's on quite the win streak right now.
Yeah. And then, hopefully, Timo Meier will be back soon for the Sharks. Yeah, Timo Meier. I just have to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Getting over his bout of mono.
Mononucleosis.
Yeah. So the Sharks, how'd the Sharks look to you in that game?
It was a sloppy game for both teams.
Yeah, it was.
There were a lot of missed passes. I think both teams are going to look better moving. I hate saying moving forward, but both teams will, I think, look better moving forward.
Oh, come on.
Man, hockey cliches, man. We all know how much I love them.
The Sharks did, even though they didn't get a whole lot of quality scoring chances. I mean, you know, they got, you know, enough, but, you know, like, they were controlling the play, and the Kings were sort of preventing them from having the middle. And, you know, then the Kings didn't really do much getting out of their zone.
And the thing about the Sharks is, even though it was an up-and-down game for them and for LA, when the Sharks looked good, they looked really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and one injury we forgot, I knew it was on the tip of my tongue, Jack Eichel.
We forgot Jack Eichel.
Is out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
That might derail Buffalo's season.
Buffalo tanking early this season.
Yeah. Kane, and I think Okposo is hurt too, at least for now.
Oh, did he get hurt?
Yeah. So he didn't play tonight. I mean, Buffalo, they didn't look good to me. I watched parts of the Montreal-Buffalo game tonight. They didn't look that good without Eichel, and now without Kane, it's going to be tough for them. That blue line is not awe-inspiring.
No, it's not.
And Robin Leonard looked meh.
Dude, I have to say, that goal that Gallagher scored, Robin Leonard did not look good.
No.
He looked
the one from the wing?
Yeah, he looked way off his angle.
Yeah, that goal shouldn't have gone in. But man, like, it sucks because Jack Eichel is really good. And
really good.
He had a nice World Cup. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think Buffalo's season might potentially be over by Christmas.
Yeah, Joe was saying that you know, could be a blessing in disguise because
tank another
they,
year.
They won't be too good.
Tank for Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, like you know, when when everyone comes back except for Evander Kane, you know they can you know they'll already be well behind in the standings.
Yeah,
and you know, then they can play you know the way they want to play, and you know like oh hey we can you know work on things, but yeah. we're still going to be bad.
It'll be just enough for Dan Bylsma to keep his job. I mean it just sucks because I want to see him play. Like he was the guy drafted behind McDavid and he's really good. So yeah, it sucks.
For as sort of awkward as he looks skating, he has a very good stride and it's very powerful.
And he's fast. Oh, yeah. That's one thing I was gonna say about McDavid. The play where he got a penalty shot. So he's going the other way, starts at center ice, sees the loose puck on the opposite side, turns around, and you know makes it to the net in like I don't know 7 strides. Meanwhile, Dennis Wiedemann is like right behind his own blue line,
mm-hmm.
and by the time McDavid goes from looping around the logo all the way to the net, Dennis Wiedemann covers like 5 feet. It was insane to see. Like, you got to look back at this clip. He covers no ground while McDavid could have done, like, a lap around the rink, maybe.
I have to look that up. I didn't even notice.
And, it's bad.
And I thought the penalty shot call was a little...
Oh, it was weak.
Yeah, it was weak.
I can't even believe they called that.
Yeah, but...
It was barely anything.
Are we going to bring in conspiracy theories about how the NHL wants to see McDavid get preferential treatment?
I'm fine with it.
Let's do it.
Who cares? Like, here's my thing with... The way people always say, like, oh, they give Crosby all the calls. They give possibly McDavid the calls. It's like, okay, fine. I want to see these guys in the power play. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about your team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I just want to see McDavid score goals.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah. So, the Oilers didn't look that good, though.
Really?
I mean, I think they got outshot, didn't they?
Was there a real quote from someone saying that about the Oilers? We're still going to lose games, but we might not lose them as badly.
Oh, I think, yeah. Speaking of quotes, oh my God. I was watching the intermission before we started recording of the Buffalo-Montreal game, and I think it's Ron McLean. He's one of the guys in studio at intermission for Sportsnet, and he was talking about Shea Weber and like what he did in that first period, laid out a couple hard body checks. Besides that, did absolutely nothing. Had like one wrist shot that didn't get through.
So in other words, he did what he got paid for.
Yeah, $10 million. But he said, he was talking about, he was talking about P.K. Subban. They moved out a locker room divider, and they brought in a locker room uniter. No. It gets worse. He said.
I hope so.
He said he's gonna be a great influence on the kids, this and that. The only problem is in Montreal, he's going to get judged by what he does on the ice. And I'm like, what? Like, are you kidding me? Like, how else are we supposed to judge him? Like, that's where the game is played.
Yeah, he damn well better get judged by what he does on the ice.
That was so ludicrous. I could not believe, like, this guy gets paid to talk about hockey. And I'm sitting, like, what am I doing? Shit.
I was going to judge him by what he did on the pickup basketball court. Or, like, on the lake in the off season.
Oh, my God.
Gretzky, our all-star?
Yeah, dude.
Like, how many pats in the back to like rookies is going to take for this guy to like win people over? You know, it's just God. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like he did not look good tonight.
Shea Weber.
Like Nathan Beaulieu does everything on that pairing.
He did have that nice shot though, that I think Gallagher redirected.
Yeah, but it's like,
but you're right. It is just
anyone
one thing.
Could have done that. It wasn't because it was Shea Weber.
Yeah.
You know, that shot. I don't know. Like, I don't want to already be completely down on Shea Weber because I actually like this Canadiens roster outside of him. I thought, like, their second line of Arturi Lehkonen, Tomáš Plekanec, and Radulov actually looked pretty good.
Mm.
Their first line looks damn good. Galchenyuk, Gallagher, Pacioretty.
As it should.
I mean, like, within the first, like, I don't know, like 30 seconds of their shift, first shift, they had, like, already 2 scoring chances.
I mean,
they were flying out there.
That's just, like... You consider the history and talent of those 3 guys, that should be a 90-goal line this year.
It could be. I mean, Pacioretty had 30 last year. Galchenyuk had 30 as the 7th most used forward.
Gallagher already has 2.
And Gallagher already has 2, so like, it's definitely possible.
And then who was in goal? Was it
Almontoya.
Almontoya.
Yeah, and he looked fine.
Yeah.
He actually made a lot of saves.
The Almontoya dynasty begins.
I like Almontoya.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So, man, that Shea Weber comment, I just want to quickly circle back. Like, how dumb must that guy have felt? Well, he probably didn't, but like when he said that. The only problem is he's going to get judged by what he does on the ice. Like, oh, sorry, man. Like, I don't have a goddamn GoPro in the locker room, like, observing Shea Weber's conversations. And that still wouldn't matter to me.
Yeah, because you're getting paid to play hockey.
Like, I was thinking about this. Like, I was like, man, this guy isn't even anywhere near PK Subban when I'm, like, just visually watching the game. Because Subban is out there with the puck, controlling the game, making breakout passes. Shea Weber doesn't make breakout passes, by the way.
No.
He defers to his partner every single time, or he chips it out. PK Subban's out there controlling the game with his skating, his shooting ability, his defensive ability, and Shea Weber is like a body out there. Like, but, that's really all he does.
But he's scary.
Yeah, he's scary. Like, I would not want to go one-on-one with him, but my team would probably still win.
Yeah. Yeah, he might mug you and, like, take your wallet, but you're still going to win.
Yeah. I'll still get the girl.
You'll still get the girl. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was...
It's going to be a long season for you.
It'll be a long season. I think the Habs will be fine.
The Habs will be fine. It's just that you're going to be constantly reminded of how it could be even better.
Yeah, but speaking of a team that might have a long season, the Anaheim Ducks. Yeah, man, the Anaheim Ducks.
It was not good today.
I got a chance to watch the parts of the first period and then the third period. I looked at the stats and all that and was on Twitter for most part. So anyway, I have a feel for this game. They lost an ugly game. I think they were up 3-1. Or no, they were up at some point. I'm like, the score's escaping me. And then they blew the lead. Dallas comes back and takes it. And John Gibson, I think, lets in 4 goals and 20 shots, 16 saves.
That goal that Laurie Korpikoski scored 5-hole, Gibson looked bad.
He kind of looked bad in general.
Yeah.
He was just kind of flailing around his net. There was one point, like, to me, this is sort of the mark of a goalie struggling, is when a guy comes in, like, wide and then circles the net, and the goalie, instead of, you know, just, like, tracking the puck behind the net and then looking over his shoulder behind the net and then just following the play to the other side.
Did he completely turn around?
He completely committed to that side where the guy was coming in, and then he had to dive across the net back to the other side. I know that's a bad play because I've done it myself as a goalie, and I've seen other goalies do it. It's a sign of, like, you're not in control. Like, you're not really reading the play correctly.
Yeah, because you should be able to push across.
So what was just some, like, innocuous play turned into him diving across, and if the puck had gotten to that spot, like, would have been a goal.
Right.
Now, nothing came of the play, but it was just, I could see, as someone who, like, understands goaltending, that, like, that was, he was not in control. And look, the goals he let in, one was 5-hole. Like, a lot of them were just through him. There wasn't a lot of, like, one-timers. I mean, the fourth goal, which was a one-timer in the slot, or it wasn't really one-timer, the guy just kind of tapped it in. It was a blown coverage, so, like, I'll give him a pass on that one. But, I don't know, he looked shaky.
He looked uncomfortable.
Anaheim never had the lead in the game.
Oh, really?
No, they tied it up at 1, tied up at 2,
oh, okay.
And then Dallas scored 2.
I guess I'm thinking they had the lead because they led in the shot department. It was 17-1 the shots after the first period.
Which is insane.
Which is crazy, especially since you consider the talent Dallas has for them to get one shot in a period. But in Anaheim, I think the shot count finished 35-20, which, you know, would lead you to believe maybe, oh, Anaheim had this fantastic game. They just, you know, like, weird stuff happened. But if you look at it, from a shot attempt standpoint, it was 40-37 in favor of Dallas at even strength. So Dallas was sort of the better team for most of the game.
Right. You have to wake up really early in the morning to have 17 shots in the first period and then only double that for the entire duration of the rest of the game.
Yeah. No, that's and that's the other thing, is this team did not look good. Like, I mean, they looked disorganized, which I guess is a symptom of it being the first game, and I think a shorter training camp and this and that. But my biggest concern is just that they looked punchless. Like, I think Kevin Bieksa had, like, over 20 minutes of ice time.
Weird.
Ryan Kesler was the extra forward at the end of the game. Ryan Kesler had, like, a ton of power play time. Like,
I mean, that's
he shouldn't be out there all the time for the power play.
Well, it's, I mean, it's not unusual because his role, was he in front of the net the whole time?
Yeah, he's like circling around there, but
I mean, that's his job.
It's his job, but like, I'm just saying, maybe he can do it when he has to, but he's not the guy you would want getting a chunk of power play time. And
who was sitting instead?
Well, that's the thing. In that game, they had no one, and they're going to him. And what I'm saying is, if they're going to keep leaning on him all season, it's not going to end well offensively.
So what kind of system was Randy Carlyle running? Was there any kind of pattern to...
I mean, I haven't really dug into it yet, so I can't really tell you. But just from what I saw from the team, it looked really unorganized, and we'll see. I mean...
Lack of attention to detail?
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. Every interview that any player has given about Randy Carlyle this summer, when he says, like, I'm detail-oriented. And, you know, he complained after the game that there were three blown coverages. So maybe that's him being detail-oriented in the interview. Like, oh, yeah, I'm pointing out these details. Yeah. I don't know.
Postemptively detail-oriented.
Yeah, ad hoc.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. The Ducks, it's... and that's what I don't get, is why are they playing Bieksa so much? That's the one thing. Because you can talk about them missing Raquel and having less talent up front. They still have a good group of blue liners, so...
Even without Lindholm.
Yeah, even without Lindholm, you still have, you know, decent guys. So why is Bieksa, like, out there constantly?
Right.
Like, I was watching the game, and I felt like, hey, wait, has he come off the ice yet?
Oh, no.
And they keep throwing him out there for the power play. And I get that he's a right-handed shot, but it's like, at one point, does that kind of lose its value?
Yeah. I'm grinning evilly.
Well, yeah, you're a Sharks fan.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
So
Ducks look bad.
Any reason for optimism for the Ducks?
Well, I guess hopefully it can't get any worse. Like, I think Gibson has to play better at some point.
I feel like he's going to.
And I think he will too. Like, there's no one is ever this bad for a full season. So, like, that's not going to happen.
You say that now, but if you look on the other side of the ice at Dallas's goaltenders and...
Oh.
Yeah, that we're still waiting for that day, even though Naomi did have a good game today.
Oh, you know what's funny? I was watching the Dallas broadcast for that game, and they were saying, Niemi's a guy who works so hard in practice, you literally have to beg him to get off the ice. And I was thinking, like, yeah, I'm sure Dallas fans are begging him to get off the ice in-game because he's so bad. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't blame him.
That's a lot of shade.
That's a lot of shade.
I'm sorry, Dallas. But Niemi played well. Like, he had to make some big saves at the end of the game.
It won't last.
Probably not.
More shade.
Like I said before.
Yeah, that was a quick rebuttal there.
Yeah, yeah. But before we started recording, like I said, they got one good game out of Niemi, 81 more to go.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. Like, the thing with the Ducks, again, like, their roster isn't terrible. It's just now you have to trust, you really have to trust the coach to sort of get the most out of it. And I just... If you're giving Kevin Bieksa 20 minutes of ice time, I don't see this thing ending well.
Yeah, we'll see how he adjusts, because we've seen too many coaches stick to their guns and especially be loyal to veterans that they maybe shouldn't be.
Well, the good thing is it didn't work. So, and coaches are always results-based. Right. So if it didn't work this game, he'll probably come back to something else next game, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hockey's back. Feels good.
It feels great. It
feels good, man.
It feels so good, man.
Yeah.
I was tired of previews and predictions.
Yeah, it's good to be reacting to stuff, but you guys have to... Oh, actually, we have a couple of listeners... Well, we have one listener question that we really want to get to.
We do.
At Jordan Dix tweeted us today. I don't remember it, the specific wording, but...
I have it.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
Jordan Dix tweeted at us, "What is your go-to brand for bottled water?"
Oh, I love this.
This is a divisive topic that...
Coors Light.
Runs... Coors Light, you know what? I like the way you think. I like the way you think. This, I know this runs deep with us. We have some very passionate opinions about this.
Joe, I heard you got a fiery take on this one.
I'm really anything but Arrowhead.
I knew it.
Wow.
Arrowhead is awful. Wow.
Joe hates Arrowhead.
Why?
Like gargling with pennies.
What?
Man. That's some shade.
Wait, Nick, what's yours?
My go-to? I guess if I had to grab just one, probably Dasani, which I feel kind of...
Dasani?
I feel kind of gross for saying that.
Are you daft?
Because it's a Coke product.
Dasani's crap.
Can I tell you what's real bad?
They changed their logo, so that helps.
Yeah, true.
It's all about marketing.
Can I tell you what's real bad? Evian. I don't like it.
Evian, that's like from the Alps.
It tastes like mud.
Oh my god, what?
I'm not into it. It doesn't. It has a weird aftertaste. But
mud from the Alps.
You know, I guess
Crystal Geyser also has a weird aftertaste. Not into it.
So, like, do you like any brand?
Fiji is really good.
Yeah, but that's like $10 for a freaking bottle.
Kirkland's not bad.
Kirkland water, yeah.
Yeah.
Safeway Select.
You know what? Though, like, to be honest, those two are actually really good.
Okay, then
I retract my Dasani statement.
There's a second layer to this question. No, there's a second layer to this question. Cold or room temp?
Cold. Ice cold. Cold.
Really?
Yeah. Ice cold.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean,
that's so bad for you.
It is when you're exercising, right? But
it messes up your stomach.
I mainly when I drink water, it's mainly during hockey games.
That's bad.
That makes it sound like I don't.
That sounds terrible.
It does, but that's actually like when I have just a bottle of water. That tends to be the time that I do it the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not tap water. It's sort of tap water. It's filtered through a Brita filter. Shout out to Steph Curry one time.
Oh yeah, Brita.
But you know, it tastes good, and then have it on the bench, and it's like a refrigerator. Just chills it immediately. It tastes so good.
Yeah, I had a Brita for a while, and it did wonders. I don't know. Like I drink a lot of water. I drink like a gallon a day, and honestly, like I don't really care too much about the brand anymore because I drink it room temperature. So not really because I like care so much about it being room temperature, just because like I don't have time to like put it in the fridge. But yeah, if I had to pick a brand, Crystal Geyser's is where I stand.
Crystal Geyser by CG Roxanne. Oh my god,
it's where I stand, dude. It tastes, can you blame me? Can you blame my roots?
It tastes weird.
Do you hate my roots?
Everybody is so into it.
Who are these people you're talking about?
You always see people walking around with Crystal Geyser water bottles, dude. It's all the rage. Everyone's doing it.
Oh my god. I mean, I think Dasani's just a dumpster fire.
Wow. You're calling my water a dumpster fire? That's disrespectful.
I think technically it's a landfill, but whatever.
True. It looks so cool too in that blue bottle.
Like, oh my god. Well,
you know what? I've said this before. When it comes to eating and drinking, I consume with my eyes as well as my mouth.
That sounds sensual.
It's sensual, but you know what? It's all about aesthetics.
I think Jordan Dix had a caveat to his statement. He was like, something about Deja Blue.
Yeah. This is what he said. Jordan responded. He said, the person that says Deja Blue is dead to me. Now, I have to be real. I've never heard of Deja Blue.
Really?
Have you had it?
Yeah, of course. I've had it. Well,
you're apparently a connoisseur of water.
I don't want to be dead to Jordan, so let me quickly explain my Deja Blue experience.
Do you sell this at Whole Foods?
No. So when I was in high school, there was a 7-Eleven right by the high school, and I would always go after school because I always either like had a seventh period or I had to wait for the bus or this and that. And so I would go there, and there was a deal. I think it was 2 for $4, two of the big Deja Blue bottles for $4. Might have been $3. Great deal, great deal. And it was like 32 ounces a bottle. And I was like, okay, like I'm in. You know, I don't have a ton of money. I'm thirsty. Let's do this thing.
I'm a high schooler. I am a teenager. I will put anything in my mouth.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, talk about sensual.
This is the edit.
Man, I don't know what's happening over on that side of the table, but you finish
all right
that story. But, I mean, that sounds like the people that buy Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Okay, but see, that is actual trash. That is something that you pick up and put in the dumpster.
It's a trash bag.
Pabst Blue Ribbon tastes like drinking beer after brushing your teeth.
No, honestly, it's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
No, it's not. I mean, like, I retract everything. It's just whatever. Like, if it's cold, it's fine.
It gets the job done.
It gets the job done, which is the most important. But going back to the water, because this is so, so, so important.
Hockey players skate on frozen water.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, drink your water, first and foremost. You should be drinking a lot of water. Stay hydrated.
A whole bunch.
No, like, seriously, if you're...
Is it 8 glasses a day?
Oh, it's more than that.
Really?
Yeah. If your pee's got to be clear.
Clear. Clear, crystal clear,
it's like a yellowish tint.
No, you want some color in it.
Yeah, a little bit, but very little, very little.
Yeah, not a whole lot, guys. We're 7 years old.
But anyway, I would say Crystal Geyser. I don't know, man. Like, it's solid. Like, okay. Dasani You're selling out. It's a corporate sellout. That's what you're doing right now.
But you know what? I'm all about practicality. And listen up, Crystal Geyser just has a weird aftertaste.
I do like. I will say this about Dasani. They have like the thicker bottle caps. They're a little sturdier.
They're sturdy.
Cause
made with care.
Because what's it called? Crystal Geyser. They've gone to this whole like environmentally friendly cap. It's a little smaller. And look, I'm all for saving the environment, but I'm also for like practicality with my bottle.
Yeah.
And so like I can respect Dasani's unwillingness to of the environment. I'm done.
Blatant flaunt of UN regulations or whatever.
You respect Coca-Cola's willingness to.
Oh, that's the other thing. I don't drink Coke, so I can't really endorse.
True.
I don't drink soda, by the way.
I don't drink soda either.
Little known fact about me.
Yeah, let's raise a glass to not drinking soda one time. I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Heathens, all of you.
Yeah. This is a hockey podcast, by the way.
We do have a hockey question. That we can get to, okay, if you like.
Let's do that, yeah.
Chad De Dominicus.
Oh, it's actually... Did you ask him? I've researched, I've Googled, I've Yahooed, RIP Yahoo, by the way.
One time. Hey, pour one out.
Actually, I think they're still alive. Anyway, it's De Dominici.
De Dominici.
Yeah.
Chad De Dominici. Yeah, I like it.
You're good.
He asks us, will Austin Matthews score 200-plus goals?
He's on pace.
He's currently on pace for 328.
He's on pace.
He's on pace to become...
Who are we to go against the numbers?
You know what? Like, far be it for us to run away from the numbers when they're staring us right in the face.
I will say this about Austin Matthews. I think he will be very fun to watch. I don't think he's going to score 40 goals. He might not score... He might score 30.
Yeah.
So you don't think he's going to break Solani's rookie record?
He's no.
No.
I think the Leafs are still going to be really bad.
Yeah.
They didn't win that game. He scored 4 goals.
Yeah. It was Ottawa 5, Austin Matthews 4.
Yeah. So
and Anderson didn't look great that game either.
I mean, there's a lot of people saying, like, watch out for the Maple Leafs, this and that. I think they're going to be maybe better than people expect, but I'm hearing people saying that they're going to push for a playoff spot. There's no way. Like, they have no depth.
Nope.
And they don't really... They have two guys on defense who are, like, real NHL players.
And they, in their starting lineup yesterday, they had, like, 8 or 9 guys that had, at most, like, 20 games experience. Like,
yeah.
And, like, 3 or 4 of them didn't have any.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, that team's not making the playoffs.
You know what they need to do? Because apparently Detroit seems to... have an aversion to Andreas Athanasiou.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, maybe they could make a pitch for him.
Hey, JVR for Athanasiou.
Oh, God. I had another thing I wanted to bring up. So, in an interview today on the radio, I think it was, in Montreal, Marc Bergevin, he, of many, a great quote, said about last year's Montreal Canadiens team, I don't think Toe Blake or Scotty Bowman could have gotten that team to the playoffs. Like, why do you have to bring these guys? And but for those who don't know, Toe Blake and Scotty Bowman are two of the greatest coaches in NHL history.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, mostly Scotty Bowman. Toe Blake was a really good coach for the Canadiens in, like, the 40s. But, yeah. It's like, dude, what are you... Like, don't talk. Don't talk. Just stop it.
Just get a start on your depression beard and go away.
Yeah, seriously.
The other thing, too, is that, like... In sports, and especially in hockey, it's all about moving forward... being in the present, looking forward, and he's still talking about last year.
He can't get over this.
He can't get over
it. This he cannot. I mean, and people are still asking him the questions,
right?
So he has to answer them. But why say that?
Yeah.
What if a guy on the team sees that? Like, what is he going
to
think? You know.
And we have to be honest. He has a biased opinion about this because Therrien is his friend.
Yeah.
Like he didn't just hire him. He hired his friend.
Yeah.
And he won't fire his friend.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And a good retort, I think, to this is like, well, maybe they would have made the playoffs if you had put together a better team. Then you would have needed Scotty Bowman or Toe Blake behind the bench. You know what I mean?
It's like
you created a team with a coach where you need your goalie to be your best player every night. Yeah. Even though you have, you know, a lot of talent, you still need the goalie to be the best guy. Like, that's on you.
Yeah,
sorry, bud.
That quote didn't inspire any confidence. And then there was the quote from even earlier in the week, I think, where he was asked about Shea Weber. and how the analytics are against him. And he was saying, well, it's not just me. Mike Babcock played him. Are we all wrong?
Oh, no, no. He said, was it about PK Subban or Weber? Well,
Was it about Subban?
It might have been about...
It was
I think it was about Weber.
It was about Canada Brass picking Shea Weber and playing him in multiple tournaments.
Yeah, yeah. And it was basically, it was an appeal to authority. It's like, well, don't blame me because this coach is doing it.
I mean, that's a bad argument because...
It's very weak.
You look at Team Canada, who has four first lines, and if you count Shea Weber, five first line defense, first number one defensemen.
Yeah.
And Shea Weber is a number two, maybe. So,
at the very best.
So they can afford to play him.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. And
Montreal can't.
And, yeah, and Team Canada didn't, like, give up anything to get Shea Weber. Like, I mean, they gave up the opportunity to have better guys, but it's not like they got rid of someone on their roster to have him be on the team.
Right.
Mark Bergevin, sometimes the stuff he says, I question his, like...
Sanity.
Sanity, intelligence.
Grasp on reality.
Oh, that I know for... that went out the window a long time ago. Like... You don't trade PK Subban for Shea Weber if you have a grasp on reality,
right?
Man, this has turned into like, is Mark Bergevin our new John Tortorella?
Man,
I'm on board with that.
Man, he's quickly approaching.
If he keeps it up with these comments,
man, and another shout out for John Tortorella on the Garage Hockey Podcast.
Yeah,
he's becoming the new Shea Weber.
He can't become the new Shea Weber because we're still bashing Weber.
Yeah,
that's true. That may never stop.
I don't really want to... That's the thing is, I don't want to bash Weber because I feel like he's not a bad player.
No, he's not.
It's just you watch him play and he's not really that special.
He's overvalued on the payroll and on the ice.
Yeah.
And public opinion. And, you know, so if you drop him down to, you know, second pairing.
Yeah.
Maybe the
I think he's a third pairing defenseman.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so
possibly he's like a number four.
And you can still have him on the power play where you know,
sure.
His weaknesses aren't as, you know, noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And that's the thing. So like if you remove all the sort of like you were saying, the outside stuff, he's like a decent player. It's just all the outside stuff is part of the reality, and you know, can't really ignore it.
There's all the baggage that comes with Shea Weber, but you know the extra that's going to be tacked on this season, and I suppose every season as long as Weber's with Montreal, is how well is PK Subban doing?
Oh, and tomorrow
we find out.
Chicago, Nashville.
Ooh.
You guys are going to be driving down to Southern California to party.
I'm going to be so sad about missing that.
I'm going to be watching that game. I'm off work tomorrow. Somebody watching that game, happy as a clam.
Man, text me live updates. I will be following your Twitter religiously.
I'm so stoked to see that blue line.
Please post GIFs.
Yeah.
I retweet GIFs.
Yeah,
retweet
all of them. I need to see what's going on.
I'm gonna sink my teeth into the Ducks game once we're done recording. Probably gonna write something about how they're really bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm actually torn, like, because I need to write an article about this game, and it's like, what's the angle I take? Like, oh, John Gibson played terribly. Oh, Randy Carlyle made really bad decisions. Oh, their offense seemed lifeless. Like, I want to have an angle that's a little more in between, right. But I don't know.
I mean, you have to call it like you see it, you know.
Yeah, I'll watch it again, and we'll see how I feel after that.
When there's bombs and sirens going off, you can't say, oh, it's a nice day out.
Yeah.
This is fine.
You're right. Yeah. And I want to watch that, the Hurricanes Jets game.
Yeah.
It looked like a good one.
I almost said Penguins Capitals, but I didn't want to be basic.
I mean, I watched the Penguins Caps game.
You're basic.
I am basic, and and I'll accept it.
No, I mean, it sounded like a fantastic game. I just happened to not have
the
channel.
It was a great game, and it was, Pittsburgh looked just as fast as ever, even without Crosby. And
they don't need him.
They
trade him. They trade him for Jonathan Toews.
Trade him right now.
Their leadership will improve.
Yeah. Trade him for Andreas Athanasiou.
100% joking.
Man, the Washington breakout was bad.
I thought you were going to say the Washington Generals for some reason.
I thought you were going to say the Washington Post.
You were going somewhere with that.
You know what?
The breakout.
We may never know what I was truly thinking. The Washington breakout was bad. Like, they gift-wrapped so many opportunities for the Penguins. And for the Penguins, their forecheck was good, but it almost got to the point where Washington had the puck with full control. They had everything at their disposal, whatever option they wanted, and they just handed it to Pittsburgh with some bad behind-the-back passes, some no-look passes, passes across the middle. So it almost became less about the Penguins' forecheck and more just about Washington's inability to make a good play.
Yeah, but again, it's the first game.
It is.
So we'll see if that trend will probably... It'll smooth itself out. But we have said before on this pod that is a question mark for them, their blue line.
Right.
So we'll see. I think Burakovsky scored, didn't he?
He scored twice.
Dude.
And they were really nice.
Remember
goals.
When I picked him as a breakout player?
Both times he scored, I thought of you immediately.
Yep.
No love for me over here. You know, saying he looked good in the World Cup.
Was he there? No, that was Orlov. That was Orlov.
You're right. No love for me.
Yeah.
No love for Joe.
Dude.
Dig a ditch.
Wow. That took a turn.
Hot take.
Dig a ditch, line it, bury yourself.
Line A.
Patrick Line A.
Line A. That goal, though.
That goal.
Man.
That was it was as advertised.
I was so hyped. Hockey is back.
Did you see the quote from him?
No.
Someone.
Man, I'm stoked for this.
I'll be paraphrasing this, but a reporter asked him about, look, Matthews scored four. McDavid had a great game, had a few points.
I love this question.
And so Line A had a measly one goal and I think one assist compared to the other two, and was asked about, what do you think about your production tonight compared to Matthews and McDavid? And he said, I'm only worried about the 2 points of the standings. That's all that matters.
Oh my.
So he turned it around. He made it about the team.
Yeah, that's a good move by
veteran him. Move by the rookie.
I was gonna say, actually, when Matthews scored, it might have been a couple of his goals. He had no reaction. There was no celebration.
The fourth goal, there was no celebration.
The first one, he celebrated really hard, as you should, because it's your first NHL goal. But when he scored the third and fourth, when it was it wasn't garbage time, but for him, it was okay, I have actually already been here and done this.
I mean, yeah, he scored four goals in a game many times, probably. So
did you see the meme ever since that Joe Thornton comment about Tomas Hertl scoring four goals where he would have a part of his body out that he would be touching?
Yeah.
And so what came of that was this meme of this guy sitting in a barn holding a chicken and just this cheesy picture of Joe Thornton's face plastered onto it. And someone took that meme and it goes, Matthew scored four goals? Nice.
Oh my god.
Just him holding this chicken.
I love that it was just two references that had no relevance to each other. Like Thornton, it wasn't like Thornton just scored four goals or he scored back-to-back hat tricks, or he had six assists. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a Joe Thornton reference from a couple years ago to a hockey reference that happened yesterday, and they just put them together.
I still can't believe that he's from Arizona, Austin Matthews.
Yeah,
and I mean, they've got some talent brewing in Arizona.
I read
the Sunshine State.
I think I read there. The Sunshine State.
What is it? The Desert State?
I mean, you know where the Sunshine State is, right?
It's Florida?
It's Florida.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, what is Arizona?
I mean, the Sunshine Party State?
Okay, anyway, you were going to say something important. Relatively.
I was.
Relative Corsi.
I think I read that participation in, youth hockey in Arizona in the past, I think, 2 or 3 years has gone up from, 3,000 to 7,000 or something crazy. So
they love their hockey.
Making a big jump.
Yeah.
I would like to say I saw a tweet from Pavel Datsyuk today saying, wishing my friends and former teammates good season. Not a good season, good season. And, that's very nice of him to wish, Max Domi a good season.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Wishing my boy Chris Pronger a great season. Yeah. But, nah, man, they, going back to Arizona, now ASU has a D1 NCAA ice hockey team.
Wow.
Which is the first, on the West Coast.
Yeah.
They went from being a really good club team, and they actually got to play, because, there's the NCAA, and then for the club ice hockey teams. There's the ACHA, and they were in the D1 of that. And it got to the point where they were playing exhibition games against like NCAA D3 teams. Like they had a game against like Penn State.
Wow.
So they were knocking at the door, and then they finally got the program because they got enough donors or whatever. So now they're all geared out. They're not, I mean, like ASU, it's a football school, you know, like that's what you think of. And even their basketball team is sort of, people think of that too. But now like they have a hockey team, they have a program, and yeah. you have to think, and they play it at the, I don't even remember the name, the, what's the name of the arena for the Coyotes?
Scottrade?
No, no, it's,
no,
it's,
that's St. Louis.
No, it's yeah. Gila River or something like that.
Oh, Gila River.
Or Gila something. River. I don't yeah. pronounce it, but they play there.
Okay.
So it's pretty awesome that like there's hockey out there in the desert.
It's amazing how many tiers of college hockey there are.
Yeah.
I watch like D2, like San Jose State, and think, man, how is it possible to get any better at hockey than this? And then
You watch D1.
And then, yeah, and then it's not even...
And then you watch Connor McDavid and it stops.
Yeah, yeah. It just stops. It's like, how?
Like,
how?
Like,
aliens.
The every time you see Connor McDavid be the best you've ever seen him is the best you've ever seen a hockey player be.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, like, I remember, like, when I played roller hockey in college, like, club, ASU always had, like, 5 teams.
Yeah.
And... they weren't like the nicest guys. Let's put it that way.
I mean, we would see them at pickup over the summer, and it was like an eye rolling moment. Like, oh no!
Like those guys were so full of themselves. But I mean, it's still like they had these crazy numbers. Like we struggled to put together 2 teams, and they had like 5 teams. So
yeah.
And then U of A had 2 teams also.
It's
University
crazy.
Of Arizona.
It's crazy.
So Arizona is like becoming a hockey hotbed, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Sunshine State,
the Sunshine State Part 2.
Man, the Coyotes 2.0, committing to staying.
Hey, when they become good, it's going to be a party over there.
It is,
not that they need any more reasons to party.
Everyone go to ASU and have a good time.
What's cool is that they have because the school is sponsored by Adidas. They all have like CCM gear.
Oh, really?
CCM is Adidas, so. Mm-hmm. They look pretty fresh in those jerseys and that equipment.
The tacks.
Yeah.
How much longer is that Reebok logo going to be on
the back? I think this is the last season.
This is it?
Yeah, thank God. Man. I'm so over Reebok. Bring on Adidas. Bring on the 3 stripes.
Man, it's kind of part of my adolescence going away.
I don't care.
Reebok came
not up... about your adolescence, but...
Wow, okay. You just want me to leave? Okay.
No, but seriously,
we met when I was an adolescent.
No, I was gonna say like,
and you were even more adolescent.
This is not a good look.
Yeah, but I mean, Reebok came up in the hockey world like right around that time. You thought I was joking?
I don't care about Reebok.
No, I mean, you know what?
They make good, they make some good products, but it's not really them. It's CCM
yeah.
and strings.
I just hope that Adidas isn't too obnoxious with the 3 stripes.
They might be. I mean, the World Cup was sort of a prelude.
It was fine for the World Cup.
It wasn't terrible because they're sort of out of sight, yeah. but you can still see them and they're there.
It actually looked cool on some of the jerseys, like the white USA jersey and the Canada jersey.
You had to mention Team USA.
Oh, God.
I thought we'd make it through.
Man.
And with that.
And we made it so clear last time, too. Guys, I take full responsibility.
Yeah, you need to issue an apology to our fan base.
Yeah, just those... That statement about mentioning Team USA is not reflective of who I am as a person. And it's just...
Except a U.S. citizen.
Anyone that knows me knows that that's not me. And I just want to apologize to everyone that was offended by it. I'm sorry you feel that way.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we've hit everything, guys.
I think we did it.
First pod of the season. More to come. You guys are going to go... I guess just see the bright lights of Southern California this weekend.
We've never really spent much time down there. We went to Disneyland once, but it's going to be our first time really being touristy in Southern California. The land of Felix Sicard one time.
I'm going to be watching hockey.
You'll be watching hockey.
Glumly.
You'll be watching without your line mates.
And I'll be watching football.
You will be.
I need a win.
I will be watching football through my fantasy football app.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Where I'm watching football. Where I'm still 5-0, and by the way, your close personal friend Colin Kaepernick is getting the start for the 49ers.
It's about damn time.
It's about time.
This is the week that it turns around. I feel it. we now have a quarterback who can complete like more than three passes a game. Yeah. So that'll be exciting.
He can actually throw the ball downfield.
All right, boys.
Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. Our first podcast during a National Hockey League season.
Yep.
It actually happened. We made it. Guys, thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can submit your questions at us on Twitter. There's no hashtag. I was about to say there's a hashtag, but there's definitely not a hashtag.
Not yet.
Maybe there will be. We'll figure it out. But you can holler at us on Twitter @GarageHockeyPod. Guys, we'll see you later.